Like I said, we wait one more minute or so for others to join, but I know that this is in the middle of summer. Most people are off on vacation. So I'm glad we have 9 participants. First order of business is, this is a Hyperledger meeting. It's open to all. We know that, or I have to make an announcement that Hyperledger follows the Linux Foundation's antitrust policy, and hence all meetings are conducted with the antitrust policy in mind. For more details, you can look at the meeting minutes, and there is a link there. The second one is about the code of conduct that we have to be respectful of each other and not disrespect people, even when we are disagreeing with them. We should also be very mindful of giving credit where due credit is due, not taking other people's contributions and labeling them as our own. This is very important because we are in an open source community, and the only benefit that anyone gets is by putting their name out there along with their contributions. I recognize a lot of people on the call, so I think I'm going to go straight into asking Maria Teresa Nieto to present on the topic of Trust ID, which has been incubated inside Hyperledger Labs. I did know about Trust ID from before because I'm a Hyperledger Labs steward, and I happened to get involved in the approval of that particular project. And Teresa is, Maria is the blockchain specialist in Telefonica, and she'll tell us more about how Trust ID came to be and how it can be used independent of the blockchain frameworks in order to enforce the identity requirements of an enterprise, and how that can be shared across multiple frameworks. This is, of course, a very important piece because we know that we are not going to be in a one framework or one blockchain world. We're going to be in a world of multiple blockchains, and possibly each enterprise is going to get involved in multiple ones. So this is, of course, a very relevant theme for our identity working group, and we always have presentations on that. Now, I'm going to turn it over to Maria for the rest of the presentation, and obviously at the end of it, there will be a Q&A session, and you can also interact with her after the session if you have further questions or comments. So here's Maria.
Hi, good evening, good morning, good afternoon. I don't know what time you have right now. I'm from Madrid, so for me, good afternoon. I'm going to share my screen.
Tell me if you are.
I have a problem with the system preference.
Okay, let me try to make you okay, you're okay. Able to, yeah, we're able to see your screen.
Okay, perfect. So thank you, Vipin, for inviting me to this call today. I want to present our project that we have released recently to the Hyperledger Labs called TrustID. This is an identity project related with the management of the identity in the blockchain platforms. So first of all, I'm going to present myself. Hi everyone, I'm Maria Teresa. I work in Telefonica right now. I have been working there since 2 years ago, but I have been working with blockchain technology since 4 or 5 years ago. During my career, I have worked with Hyperledger Fabric, but I have also worked at the beginning with Ethereum and other technologies like Quorum or Hyperledger Barrow when its name was Monax, and with all these blockchain platforms. So first of all, I would like to introduce the way that we decide to release this project to the Hyperledger Labs. So at the beginning, we was working on our TrustOS platform. This is a product that we have developed on Telefonica. And the main goal of this product is to create an abstraction layer to the blockchain operations. So in this case, in TrustOS platform, we develop some modules like a track API to implement all the logic of the tracking of assets in a blockchain platform. A token API that is a Hyperledger Fabric implementation of the ERC20 token in Ethereum. We have also created a settle module to facilitate the settlement operation between companies. And finally, we develop a trust component to give more trust to the Hyperledger Fabric network that we use it to develop all these modules. So in this case, with the trust module, we decided to create some copies of the information that we had in the blockchain, in the private blockchain platform, to the a public one. So as any application in the world, we needed a method to authenticate our clients and our users in the platform. So we started to develop a decentralized model to identify all the users that were using the TrustOS platform. As the first requirements to create this type of identity access, as any application, at first we need to authorize or not the people to access to the services to the platform, or maybe one service to service depends of the role of the user. If we go to the without blockchain world, digital identity is stored usually in a database, in a centralized database. So in this case, the management of the identity is really easy because you have only one entry point to check the authorization for a user. However, in the case of the blockchain, if we want to make it total decentralized, we had a problem because we were using Hyperledger Fabric, and in this case, as we are going to see later, all the authentication in Hyperledger is made by the certificate authorities, and at the end, the certification is a little centralized. So in this case, we stopped our development and we started to design a new method to to create a new type of authentication. So to do this, to do this design, we started to analyze how the identities are managed in different blockchain platforms like Hyperledger, Fabric, Indie, Ethereum, Corda, Monero, and all that stuff. So in these cases, despite of everything is decentralized, for example, Bitcoin, everything is decentralized, the identities that you create in Bitcoin, you cannot create it in other platforms like Monero or Ethereum or all that platforms. So we wanted to create it sorry, I have the chat. I don't know if I opened the chat. Everyone wants can see the messages. But well, we had that problem. So at the end, our goal to create a new method to manage the identities is to create only one access point, only one identity that could be compatible with different blockchain platforms. This is our main goal. Because if we have many identities and many wallets, we have this problem. We have to manage all the identities with the private key, with the public key, and other stuff. So we don't want this. We need an identity decentralized management. So as I have anticipated before, the identity in Hyperledger Fabric is centralizing certificate authorities. And I'm going to put you an example. I have here a little example of a network. As if you have been working with Hyperledger Fabric, you probably know that the network is made up by organization, that organization represents companies, and also you are going to have an ordering service. Each company of the network, each organization is going to have a certificate authority to create all the certificates and all the identities for each component of the network, like the identities of the peers, like the identities of the users, and all that stuff. So if we want to create, for example, a user in the company A, the user is going to be allowed to access to the network through the company A. However, if the company A during a time leaves the network, this user is not going to be able to have access to other companies because it was enrolled only in the CA of the company A. So here we had a problem. So when we started to develop this type of things, because we have in Telefonica clients that want to create a consortium network between different companies, but the companies are not always the same, we had a problem with our product. So also another problem that we realized when we started to create our authentication management is that every time we want to create any type of authentication with the Hyperledger Fabric series, we have to create also an LDAP that is also centralized. And if we want to create also some access management between chain codes, not between channels, because between channels you can create an access management because of the certificates of Hyperledger Fabric. But if you want to create some access management in chain codes, because you want that a user can write and read in a chain code, but other user can only read from that chain code, you cannot do this type of operation. Another point to have into account is the custody of the keys. In the case of Hyperledger Fabrics, when you create an application, you use the SDK, and when you are creating the state store for the keys, the keys are stored also in the site of the application. So at the end, these keys don't belong to the user. So that was also that we want to solve. And finally, as I was talking to you first, there is not interoperability between the identities. If I have an Ethereum identity, but I want to use a Hyperledger Fabric network, I want to have to create a Hyperledger Fabric identity. And this will happen with all the types of the blockchain platform. So, to create a decentralized management for the identities, the requirement that we need to solve is that we need decentralized authentication. We want to give the users the possibility to custody their keys, or at least they could export the keys or not, but we don't want it to be the keys stored in the application, in the application side, and also due to we was redefining and redesigning the identity management, we want to go to another approach that is relevant now in the identity world, that is the DID standard. So we wanted to create a new identity management in Hyperledger Fabric compatible with the DID standard. So, what are the basic requirements that what we have implemented in the TrustID platform? Well, in this case, every time we are going to interact with the system, we are going to have a private and a public key, like in any blockchain platform. However, we are going to follow the standard JSON object signing and encryption. For example, Hyperledger is not following this standard. Hyperledger keys are using the X509 certificates, but this standard is not used yet. We want also to create identities that can be verified by a set of controllers. In this case, by nature, in Hyperledger Fabric, an identity is verified by the certificate authority that is centralized. But we wanted to create a decentralized method to verify identities. So in this case, one identity can be verified by a determined number of controllers. We want also to give the users the opportunity to custody their keys. And as I was saying, to represent these keys with the DID standard. Finally, due to we work in Telefonica with production environment, sometimes our clients requires us a secure method to store the keys. This secure method is also implemented right now in Hyperledger Fabric, like the hardware security modules. But now that we were redefining all the identity, we want to keep that in our implementation. And finally, and the most important thing, we wanted to create a unique identity compatible with different blockchain platforms. So, from a high level point, we are going to have some applications, and these applications are going to interact with any entry point of a DLT platform. In Hyperledger Fabric, for example, every time an application wants to interact, it's going to interact usually with the CA that has enrolled the certificate. So in this case, we want to decentralize the interaction between the applications and the DLT platform. TrustID is going to be made up by two components.
from the application part is going to have an SDK, and to create all the logic that we need to create that authentication management, we are going to have in the DLT platform a chain code or a smart contract, depending on the platform that we are going to interact with. So that's we decided to release this project to the Hyperledger Labs because there is a lot of work to do, and we would like to create TrustID compatible with any blockchain platform. At first, we have make it compatible with Hyperledger Fabric, and now we are working on make it compatible with Ethereum. However, our perspective about this project is to be compatible with, for example, Hyperledger Indy, Besu, or Bitcoin, or any blockchain platform. So that's why we need contribution from the community, because the project is really huge. And right now, from Telefonica, we only can work only in these two implementations. So to understand better what I have explaining in the theoretical part, I'm going to present you the repository where all the code is published, and also to understand better the concepts that we have implemented with TrustID, I'm going to perform a demo. So I don't know if you have any question about the theoretical part before going to the
Are you going to do the demo now?
Yeah.
Okay, that's great. Unless people have questions, but maybe we can ask the questions after we see the demo. Maybe the demo will clarify some of our questions.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I agree. That's a great idea. Let's do the demo first.
Okay. So first I'm going to... to present the repository. As I have said, TrustID is made up by two components. One component is the SDK that is going to be used in the application that want to interact with the blockchain platform. And on the other hand, we are going to have the smart contract implementation. So in the smart contract implementation, we are going to store the public identities, the public key from the identity, okay? Every time we want to interact with a chain code or a smart contract, we are going to sign the transaction with our private key, okay? And then to check if that identity has access to other service, to other chain code, or to other smart contract, the chain code is going to be the part that is going to perform that part of the verification of the signature and check if that user has access or not. So in this case, an example of an invoke transaction to a Hyperledger Fabric chaincode, we are going to have the identifier that is going to identify the identity that is going to perform the transaction, and a payload. In this payload, we are going to have the arguments of the chain code that we are going to interact with. So before perform the transaction through the Hyperledger Fabric network, we are going to sign this payload, and the payload is going to have this form. So when the payload is going to come to the chain code is going to verify that signature with the public key of that DID. and then it's going to check if that the ID has access to the chain code that he wants to call. In this case, we have created a model of the form of the identity. And in this case, as I said before, the identity is going to be made up by a public key, but also is going to have a controller and an access. An access that will represent if this identity can be a controller or cannot be a controller. One question that maybe you can have is, but now how is the chain code going to know if the identity has access or not? Okay, in this case, all the chain codes are going also to be stored in the hyperlayer, in the chain code and in the hyperlayer fabric. So every time we want to create a service that is going to be a chain code, we have to create that service with an ID, a controller that is going to be the identity that have created that service, a list of access, and the channel where the chain code is deployed. So in this case, when we want to perform a transaction through the Hyperlayer Fabric and we want to call to a chain code, the trusted chain code is going to check if the identity has an access. If the identity has the access, the transaction to that chain code or that service is going to be performed, but if not, the transaction will be rejected. So what are the functionalities that we have developed in the chain code? Okay, in the trusted chain code. In this case, we have created the inbox functionality that creates a delegate call to other chain codes in the network. We can create identities that we want to, when we want to enroll a user in a decentralized way, we are going to save in the platform the public key and the access and the controller. We are going also to get identities, verify identity. In this case will be every time we want to have more controllers that have verified our identity in the trust ID chain code, a controller will be safe also and will verify that identity. We can revoke an identity and we can create all the management of the services that will be the chain code that we have deployed on the platform and we are going to call. From the side of the SDK, we have these functionalities implemented like an abstraction layer to Hyperlayer Fabric. So TrustAD implements the SDK of Hyperlayer Fabric creates an abstraction layer to the users. So I'm also talking about Hyperlayer Fabric because it's the first platform that we have developed with TrustAD, but we could also be an Ethereum platform. So in this case, the way that we have organized identities is through wallets. Each wallet is going to have one identity with a public key and a private key with the standard. A wallet that is going to represent that key is going to have also one or more blockchain platform. So every time we want to interact with any platform, we are going to say to that wallet what platform we want to use. So, for example, when we initialize our wallet, we are going to add a network. In this case, for example, we are going to add a Hyperlayer Fabric network. And every time we want to create an identity in that chain code for the smart contract or interact or all that type of operations, we are going to select which network we are going to interact with. So this is more or less the concepts of the implementation of Trust ID, and now I'm going to perform an ADEM. In this case, I have created a little example about how to initialize a Trust ID wallet, how to create an identity, how to use the identity, and how to interact with a Hyperledger Fabric chain code that has been deployed before on the platform. So in my case, I have a Hyperledger Fabric network. It's an example with peers, CAs, and order, and all that stuff. And now I'm going to interact with it. First of all, I'm going to configure a network to a Trust ID wallet. So in this case, I have a configuration. I have also the connection profile of Hyperledger Fabric that is the configuration that we need to connect with Hyperledger Fabric key. And all the Hyperledger Fabric configuration that we need to connect with that. As first, we are going to create an instance of a wallet. And I'm going to create a file key store to store the keys. However, we also have implemented an import operation and export operation. So in this case, the application is going to save the keys of the user. However, if the user don't want to the application to save the keys, we cannot create a file key store. But in this case, for the example, to be more visual, I have created one. So in this case, once we have a wallet created, we are going to add to that wallet a Hyperledger Fabric platform. So in this case, we are going to create a Trust ID Hyperledger Fabric object with the config to create a network, to create the gateway to connect to the network. And then we are going to add to that wallet this configuration. So for example, if a wallet want also to connect to other Hyperledger Fabric platform in other side with other consortium and all other things, can also have other network, and we can call that Hyperledger Fabric 2, for example, okay? And for example, if we want to connect with a with an Ethereum or Hyperledger Vesu network, we are going to create the configuration that we need to connect with that platform, and then we are going to call the platform Ethereum. And now the wallet is going to can also interact with Ethereum. So. Now I have created a key store with the keys, and I have configured the driver. In this case, if we want to keys, we can see all the keys that we have created. Okay. Then, once that I have created the key store, and I have added the Hyperledger Fabric network to a wallet, I'm going to create an identity. In this case, it's going to be a self-signed identity because I don't have any controllers yet, or I'm going to be the controller, or anything. In this case, it's very important to know the governance that we want to perform in a platform. In this case, the implementation is open to create any governance. So in this case, I'm going to create a DID. I'm going to unlock the account because the account is the management of the private key is so similar like the Ethereum implementation. You have an account and the private key is also is always encrypted. And we have to de-encrypt the key every time we want to interact with that identity. Then once we have created the identity, we are going to publish it in the Hyperledger Fabric chaincode, in the TrustID chaincode. So now that identity is published, every time we want to interact with any service, we are going to check if that identity with that public key is valid. If not, we are going to be rejected. And to check that the identity has been created successfully, we are going to perform an again get identity operation. So, the identity is going to have this form from the part of the DID in the client-side application. We are going to have a controller and private key, a public key. In this case, we have printed it before decrypt the private key, so in this case we don't have unlocked key, and then we have printed the form that we are going to have in the Hyperledger Fabric platform, in the Hyperledger chaincode, the identity. In this case, we are going to have the DID of the identity that is going to perform the operations and will be the identifier to recover later the public key. And every time we want to perform an operation, we are going to check the signature with that public key. So now that we have created the identity that we are going to use to interact, we are going to interact with a service or with a chaincode in Hyperledger. In this case, we are going to use the Track chaincode that we have developed for the TrustOS platform. At the end, the Track chaincode is going to store a JSON with a data and metadata that is going to store some information from a digital asset. And now the asset ID is going to be it's going to be a random identification. So now that we have the asset, we are going to invoke the chaincode with these arguments. In this case, you can see the arguments like a plain text because it's going to be the trusted SDK, the part of the application that is going to perform the signature before send the transaction to the Hyperledger Fabric. And once that we have created an asset, we are going to get that asset, and also we are going to perform that operation with the asset ID. In this case, we have also the plain text because it's the SDK, the part that is going to sign. So in this case, I'm going to perform that. Now we have created the identity again. We have created a service. We have created an asset, and now the asset has been created to the chaincode. We are going to recover it. In this case, I don't know if I have a slide to see it better. But at the end, the TrustID chaincode is going to be like a proxy between the application and a chaincode that you have deployed in a Hyperledger Fabric network. So every time we want to perform an operation, we are going to go to that proxy to check an authenticate in a decentralized way the users, and then we are going to call the rest of the services that we have deployed, in this case in our platform like TrustOS. So finally, we have also created other types of methods like sign payloads or verify payloads, because for example, if we want to check if a payload is going to be sent successfully to the platform, we want to check it, or for example, we want to add functionality. So in this case, we can sign with a DID a payload, or we can also verify with that DID with an identity. So to finalize the presentation, I would like to present you the next steps that we have, or the roadmap that we have designed to the platform. In this case, as you have seen, TrustID is really focused on Hyperledger Fabric. And maybe the user experience is not the best user experience. This is a first approach to create that implementation of a decentralized identity. We would like also to create more compatibility with other network drivers, like I have commented before, like Ethereum, Corda, Besu, Quorum, or other platforms. We are also working in to create an abstraction to give the user the possibility to listen into events in the blockchain platform, because we have realized that if we want to throw events to the service that we want to interact with it in Hyperledger Fabric, the events of a chain code, each interaction or each transaction can only send one event. So in this case, due to that, we are going up delegate call through the TrustID chain code that is a proxy. If the event at the final step wants to throw an event, the event is not caught by the blockchain platform. So in this case, we have implemented an event part in the chain code of the TrustID, and also we have implemented the way to listen the events in the part of the SDK. As I have said at the beginning, we would like to create more compatibility with other keystores, like for example the hardware security modules. And at the end, we will really like to migrate this simple identity decentralized model to other approaches, like for example the verifying credentials or trust anchors, or that method to manage the decentralized identities. And at the end, we would like to create an integration and compatibility with other proposal of identity, like for example UPort, Indy, or TrustBlock. So to finish, if you really want this, you really like this project, and we have seen the potential, and you want to contribute, any contribution is more than welcome. So thank you very much for your attention. And I know that it's hard today in summer, but thank you very much.
Thank you, Maria. Thanks a lot. It's a very difficult thing to take people through code and try to see the connections between all the things. We do have some let's say prominent people on the call. Reuven, who's was involved in UPort right from the beginning. Then we have Todd. We have Jim Mason, we have others. So they will start by asking questions that they have. My question is very simple. I'll ask the first question, which is, how does this project integrate with your core business in Telefonica?
In this case, we need this project because we have a lot of clients, and we have on one hand the TrustOS platform, but the other hand we also give our clients to a way to have a blockchain as a service platform. We have also have contributed and participate with consortiums like in Spain, Alastria, or other consortiums in Europe, and we have realized that the companies that belongs at first stage to a platform, maybe at the year is going to leave the platform. So that's why we decided to create any type of decentralized identity management. Because as I was saying in the presentation, every time we create an identity in a Hyperledger Fabric platform, this identity is going to belong to the CA that has enrolled the identity. So in this case, if the identity leaves the consortium, the identity that have created before is not going to be used in the rest of the platform. So in this case, due to we have a lot of clients that want to create consortium networks, we want to give them a solution to this type of problems. I don't know if I have answered your question.
It's okay. Lots of people will have questions. I see that Jim has his hand raised.
Thanks, Vipin. There's a lot I'm not going to ask because there's a lot I could ask. Great presentation, and it certainly fills, I think I'll call it your solution, fills a need, because Fabric itself directly, as you know, has the issues you pointed out around identity management, and it doesn't support self-sovereign IDs. So you're addressing that from a Fabric perspective is good, and you also pointed out you're going after other blockchains as well. What occurs to me is what you're building is, I'll call it, very similar to Hyperledger Ares that already exists, right? So, and the difference is Ares does not connect to Hyperledger Fabric, which you do. But on the other side of it, Ares works with multiple identity blockchains and implements the full, I'll call it, W3C DID specification today, including credentials. So why wouldn't you just, in a sense, extend Ares as opposed to building a whole new framework, is my question.
It could be also a solution. At the end, the solution that we have developed can be integrated to other Hyperledger projects. We would like to integrate our solution to other Hyperledger projects. We don't want to create a project from scratch. So I think that it could be a possibility.
It's worth looking at because Ares has, where you're wanting to do things, they've already done a lot of those. So they have a lot of things already built. On the other hand, you're doing things they're not, which is integrating to Fabric is one, but there's others. So at a point, we can integrate Ares, you know, directly to Fabric, but that sort of replicates what you've already done. And I'm actually working on an identity project now for a state implementing Indy Ares and all of that as our distributed identity management system. We're in the middle of a POC on that at this point.
Mm-hmm. Okay, so thanks. Thank you. Thank you very much for your feedback. I'm going to check how to integrate Trust ID with Hyperledger is, because I have a little knowledge about that project. So thank you very much.
Anyone else?
I have maybe a similar comment. We have, so there's actually is doing Ares now with Fabric and Sidetree. That might be worth at least looking at as well. We have launched a few, 2 or 3 months or so, this will make I work also for the Decent Identity Foundation, an interop project where we bring the different folks from Hyperledger, WCC, DIF, and others together to discuss exactly this interoperability questions. So it might be also worth, I will share a link later with Vipi, where you can find this. It's on identity.foundation. So it might be also like a good place to even present it there, to get more people looking into, I don't know, interoperability. I think is important for all of us for these kind of frameworks.
So you will share the DIF link on the email or something, or on the meeting minutes?
Yeah, I can. I will find it in a minute as well. So I think just to make this clear, so this is this interop initiative, whilst it is hosted in DIF, it's actually something where we have people from Trust Over IP, from Aries, from everybody, because we said like we have all these like different pockets of interoperability, and we want to create this, and we want to build test suites around this, which can span across the different environments. So it's not a pure like DIF environment or DIF initiative, it's across ecosystem. And I will find the link in the next 2 minutes.
Okay. Anyone else has questions? I guess.
Hey, David, and it's Bobby.
Yeah, go ahead.
Hi, I'm from the Learning Materials Working Group, and this is just great information. And if you could, again, send me either like a link to the presentation or any link to the information you'd like the community to know. We have a page to store working groups' contributions to the community, and I would love to get this stuff out there for everybody. So please share all the links. Thanks. And it was a great presentation.
We'll put it on the meeting minutes, and I will send out information if Maria is willing to share her presentation.
Yeah, sure. I'm going to send you the mail when we finish the meet.
Okay. The other question that I have is, you know, we have challenges. You know, what are the main challenges that you face in integrating other platforms? Because the signatures schemes are different. You know, lots of things are different. I know that the DID structure probably can integrate all of these different types of signatures into it. The other question would be, you know, first is like, what are the main challenges? And obviously, people like Reuven, Jim, everybody's working towards some kind of a interface by which we can interoperate between the different ledgers just using a single structure, at least. I mean, I don't think using a single key probably is not possible. I don't know. I mean, I'm not well versed in the intricacies. So that's the first question. What are the main challenges? You know, the other thing would be, the other question would deal with things to be built on top of it, top mm-hmm. of something like this, like an MPC-based signature scheme that would be appropriate for enterprises to be built on top of this.
Maybe your question is related with all the types of the signatures that we have to manage because of each blockchain platform has a different algorithm to create the keys. But one of the things that we have implemented, and this is our challenge, is that at the end you are not going to use the keys of the platform that you are going to interact. In this case, we are going, every time we want to perform an operation, we only need a private and a public key, and it doesn't matter the algorithms, or this is the goal and the challenge, it doesn't matter the algorithm that has created that keys. At first, we have used
RSA to create the keys, because it's the most common algorithm to create that type of keys. But we also want to, for example, use the BIP, that 32, that is the algorithm that uses Ethereum to create the keys. And at the end, the main idea is that everything is going to be verified in the chaincode part or in the smart contract part. So the only thing that you need is to have a key, for example, an Ethereum key with the private and the public key, sign the transaction with the private key, and then the smart contract is going to be intelligent and is going to have to be able to verify the signature independent of the algorithm that has created that key. So from my point of view, this is the main challenge that we have to accomplish to create this project.
The other question was about the MPC piece.
Sorry?
The other question was about the multi-party computation piece, which you know, where the key is sharded and distributed between multiple parties, and not one person holds the entire key. And then we had a presentation about it last time, and we have the material on the meeting minutes for last time. But essentially, this is new, you know, not new, but definitely on the frontiers of enterprise signing, you know, using multiple signatories, M of N signatures. So I assume you can build something like this on top of the,
Yeah, but at first, this is on the roadmap, but at first we didn't have the time to think about this type of requirements. At the end, the thing that we want to perform is that the user is going to be the person that is going to custody their own keys. In this case, only is going to be the public key that is going to be replicated and published to all the nodes in a platform or many platforms. So at the end, we don't think that we have a problem when we are publishing the public keys. But for example, if the user is going to custody their own keys, we don't have to think about these type of things. But if, for example, if we are going to be like a third party to custody the keys of our clients or our users, we are going to work on these type of things.
Okay. We'll continue this discussion, but you know, it's already 1 hour has flitted by, and we didn't even know about the passage of time. Because great presentation, and hopefully you will send me the slides and we can continue this conversation later. And also another appeal to anyone who has a good presentation on this type of topic to get to contact me so that we can program it into the next meeting, or you know, any upcoming meetings. Thank you.
Okay, thank you very much for inviting me and give me the opportunity to share our work.
And like thank Miguel you very much, says, buen trabajo.
Muchas gracias.